right, advertiser time. So, first off, our OG sponsor, Sinister Jerky. Use code KINGDOM, that's KINGDOM, at checkout at www.sinisterjerky.com. Grab yourself a nice little discount. And also, this podcast is powered by Balls Garara. Grab life by the balls. And with that said, let's go on to the podcast.
All right, welcome back to Castle Comms, episode 102. Today, we got a good one. Today, we got Tetsu Fury. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's definitely been a very strange scenario going back to work after having all that time off for having a kid. But you seem to be in the same boat with the whole brand new kid edition. So how has this been for you? Is this your first kid? Is this one of many in the bunch? Like, how is the whole situation treating you?
Yeah, so I think it's our first kid. Not I think. He's actually 7 months old today.
Nice.
So just a lot of firsts, you know, a lot of things where we're learning and we're figuring it out. And I don't know, man, like trying to juggle, like,
oh, it's a trip.
Trying to juggle
it's
everything.
It's an absolute trip. Does he look like you, or does he look more like your significant other?
honestly, it's debatable. Okay. Some people say that he looks more like me. I think he looks more like her.
Right, and totally. See, that's one of the weirdest things is it's always trippy when it's just like you're having those moments like, this is my kid. But it's even weirder when they fucking look like you and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, dude.
And then you think back to all the things that like scarred you as a kid and be like, I can't fuck this up.
So I got kind of like philosophical with some buddies that also just, you know, had their first kids recently. And they said, actually, like, there's a theory that your kid looks like the guy more as a baby so that it doesn't trigger like your alpha. You want to like take it out because like you have to be like that primal like leader. I was like, that is some like bizarre shit that I was like,
you
no
don't
way.
Want your kid to out alpha you. So if your kid looks like Andrew Tate, you're going to throw hands and be like, there can only be one alpha in the show.
So like, kind of you know, like animals, you know, like if you think about it, right. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But I mean, I don't really believe that, I guess, you know, it has been a trip, man. And like, he's 7 months old. So, you know, we're still learning as we go. Right. But
right.
It's like, I can't believe we made it 7 months. it's been crazy.
And every kid is completely different. Yeah. Like my daughter, who's almost three, she was the grumpiest little baby. We called her Grumpy Cat. And this baby is the happiest little like thing ever. So it's just so weird seeing the dynamic shifts. The cool thing is they're both girls and I already had all the girl shit. Oh, so yeah. It's just like, I don't have to buy anything new. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Just reuse it.
Oh, yeah, that's the best thing. Did you guys do, like, the gender reveal? Did you, like, set a city in California on fire? Did you blow up anything trying to tell everyone the announcement of your baby's genital?
No, so we actually ended up going through IVF, like an IVF program. And okay. We found out, like, super early because of all of that. And honestly, also, I think because, like, we had to go through that program, it wasn't like a secret. Like everybody knew that we had to do this, like our families and everything. So we didn't do any kind of like a reveal with the gender, but we did a reveal with the name. And it was so much fun, dude. It was so much fun.
So was the picking the name, is that a hotbed topic of conversation? Did you guys like fight over it? Did you like get to the point where you're picking a name out of the hat? Or was it pretty amicable picking the name?
I think it was pretty amicable. It took... Yeah, there's definitely a lot of like workshopping that goes into it, you know, and you have to just kind of like feel your way through it and then write it down on a piece of paper. And, you know, like honestly, my sister-in-law gave me really good advice. She's like, go outside and scream whatever name you think you want to name him, because you're going to be yelling at the top of your lungs constantly. And you got to make sure that it's like fitting. And I was like, you know what? That's good fucking advice as well. Like,
did you tell your neighbors that you were participating in this, or do you think they were just like, wow, I think he's shooting gay porn over there? I don't know who Brandon is, but my God.
No, I didn't. So I probably should have gave them a heads up, but I actually went a little bit of a different route with it too. And I got pretty big into like RP. So like GTA RP and Red Dead Redemption RP. And I actually made a character with that name to just get used to like saying it and like kind of, you know, trying it on a little bit. It was super fun, man.
Nice. So you're pretty much having an alter ego as your child's name. So if you get pulled over by the cops, are you busting out that alter ego name? Like, I'm in too deep. GTA RP is taking me over.
I was just on my way to go get a, you know, shaving kit for, you know, for Eli. I got stories in front for days for that.
I bet. See, the weirdest thing about having a kid is all the little things that you never knew were a problem in your brain until, like, they fall in love with them. Like, I don't know if your kid is into, the nursery rhyme bit or watching Baby Bum or that weird, like, you know, kid-focused television on Netflix. Probably too soon. But, oh, my God. I have never been subjected to such mind-numbing nursery rhymes in my life, and I never know this was such a trigger. Now I can't stand any of them.
We're getting into a Baby Shark, like, as we speak. Like, he's just starting to become, like, more aware, and, you know, and it's happening, you know, like, he's... You throw Baby Shark on, he's so happy.
Right? That's dope. See, this is a fun age because, like, the first few months are just rough, and then once they start to smile and once they start to interact, that's when it starts to get fun. But the problem is once they start to, like, oh, they don't want me to do this, this is bad, and then they smile at you when they do it, and you're like, no, stop it, please, God.
It's been, like, I mean, I think every parent probably says this too, like, we're excited to see the next phase, but, like, we also... are really trying not to, like, rush anything, you know, like,
oh no,
really
you have to enjoy it,
enjoying everything that we can. And then, you know, like, my wife and I both are trying to, like, juggle full-time jobs, like careers, and then, you know, maybe an hour or two, maybe three, try to do some streaming at night. Like, it's been busy, man. And I think, like, in a way, he's been like a really good baby. He's been a really good kid, you know what I mean? Like, he's been pleasant, because I've listened to some other you know, other friends that are just like, it was like 100 days of darkness. I thought it was like the worst thing that was ever going to happen in my life, and then they evened out when they got to, like, you know, 5 months, or they got to, like, 1 year old. He's been super cool, right? So I think, like, I'm also kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know what I mean? Like, he's
you got real lucky. You rolled the dice and you got a, like, an angel baby. So congratulations on that. And congratulations on being a dad in general. It's definitely one of those things that you never know how you're going to react to it until it's actually happening. You're like, oh, I always wanted this. And then you're just like, you know, like, oh, I can't hear it because my kid's been screaming in my ear and I have tinnitus. Do I want this?
I know, kind of thing. So loud.
Oh, I know, right? It's funny because it's like, I was in the military and I've been subjected to many, many loud noises of machine guns and artillery and tanks and just, you know, people yelling in my face. And, you know, then it's like, how is this little tube of anger surpassing all of that noise damage? How is this the thing that's going to make me deaf?
Bro, preach. It's like that. It's that pitch. Like, it just, and it's like 0 to 100. You know what I mean? Like, there's no in between. But I think, again, like, some other friends were like, oh my God, like, I can't, like, I had to put earplugs in. And maybe it's just me, but I still think it's, like, the cutest thing in the world, dude. I'm like, he's crying and I'm just like, look at how cute he is. My wife's like, please pick him up so he can stop. And I'm like, but look at him, you know?
It's funny because it hits them so much different. It's for just sure. Like, my wife is just like, oh my God, when the baby screams, it, like, hits a nerve. My kid's trying to say goodnight.
Good night.
You want to say goodnight?
Kiss.
Good night.
Oh, I'll give you a kiss. It's funny. She never wants kisses. And then when I'm on the microphone, she wants to get right in the microphone.
Gotta get it in.
Yeah, she's like running up against the mirror because she likes to hit the mirror because she sees her reflection.
Right.
Like a fighting fish in a tank.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man. So you touched on GTA RP. And I was just wondering, have you been RPing for a while? Are you new to the RP thing?
Oh, dude.
Has acting and that kind of thing had a background for you, or is this like a newfound thing?
Newfound thing. Like, I really, you know, started streaming and kind of getting into that from like COVID, you know, like lockdown, quarantine. and like just built my PC like right before shit kind of hit the fan. And then,
oh, what a good time to do it. I mean, yeah. What other time are you going to be locked with your, like, you know, well, what else am I going to do kind of thing?
And then I built it, honestly, because a buddy of mine was like, you got to play this game, Escape from Tarkov. And I was like, done. I've been kicking it around. I want to do it. Oh, I'm going to do it. So then
Tarkov is the entry drug.
It is, man.
This is like what they said marijuana was. Nancy Reagan had no idea the damage that Tarkov would do to generations of the future.
So I can't play other games, no. Man. So,
the Russian black tar heroin of games has got you.
It's like, I can't put it down. It doesn't even matter how much of a dumpster fire it is. I'm like, I just one more raid. Okay. Like just one more.
So are you a tracksuit type of gamer? Are you that far down the rabbit hole? Are you trying to get Kappa? Or are you just happy to raid and loot and pillage like a pirate?
Pirate, 100%. Scoundrel, dude. Like, I just want to go run around. If I see someone doing a task, I'm going to go try to interfere with them. You know, like, just for fun, really. And the RP thing, another buddy of mine that I played Tarkov with ended up kind of tossing it over to me and was like, you should check this out. Like, it's just something different, kind of breaks up the monotony. But it was an all British, like all English server. So
nice.
I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand it at first. And then after maybe like a year of streaming, I was like, I kind of want to try something else. So I went back to it again. And then, I don't know, man, like no acting, like nothing like that, but it just like, it really kind of hit like the soft spot, and it was like a lot of fun. I met a lot of really cool people. And then also like the numbers, man, like I had tripled my viewers, tripled the subscribers, tripled the followers. And it was like, I started making content, like making clips and doing things with YouTube. And it all just started to kind of snowball and went from there, man. And Red Dead Redemption, I mean, Red Dead Redemption as a video game.
Did you see the RD4 announcement?
Mm-mm, not yet.
I don't know if it's real. I saw a teaser, and I also saw that GTA 6 is going to cost $130.
I think GTA 6 is going to be ridiculous. Like, I think it'll be worth it. Like, it's been in production for so 100%. Long. It's going to be so good.
Going back to the all-British server, how long did it take for you to decode that lingo? Did it feel like you were trapped in Clockwork Orange?
Like, there's been so many instances where I was like, you just got to repeat that. I have no idea what you're saying. And then like the slang and some of the other words, you know, the slang words, it was just like, I have no idea what you're fucking talking about right now. And then they would laugh and be like, oh yeah, okay. You're like the one American that's here. I'll explain it to you later. Get in the car. And then, you know, we'd go like rob houses while they explain the joke. Really good group of people, man.
You see, that guy likes milk in his tea, so fuck him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dude, and like, oh my God. Honestly, some of the most rowdy people I've ever played video games with.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just, they want to fist fight and just beat everybody up all the time. You know, like,
when you hear oi, you know it's like, oh,
I don't know. I don't like people to drive red cars. Let's go rob him. And it was like, all right, you know, whatever.
So you're living vicariously through that gang shit. I like the amount of vicarious living. You're getting your anger out by robbing people who drive red cars. You're getting the vicarious thing out of playing as your child's name to see how it fits. Like, you have a complete alter ego going on over here.
Total parallel universe for sure.
So in this parallel universe, what is the worst thing you have done in GTA?
Oh, God,
like,
dude.
What is the most heinous, unforgivable, give that man the electric chair kind of crime that you've committed?
So, I mean, the it was really the response to a crime that was committed. We were just, like, robbing houses, like, you know, kind of like a low-tier.
As one does.
Yeah, sure, of course, you know, a low-tier crime. But they sent, like, I don't know, they sent, like, dude, they sent like probably like 4 units to the house, which is really overkill. They probably should only sent like 2 or maybe like a single unit that's doubled up.
It must have been a slow day in Los Santos.
I think it was a slow day. And they brought Air One out, and we were just like, this is overkill, man. So the kid that I was with, he told him, he got on the radio, told our driver, he's like, drive by and tell them if they don't back off, we're coming out shooting. That's, we have no other negotiations. Like, you leave, you call Air One away, or we come out shooting. Well, they thought we were kidding, and they thought he was threatening them. We gave a countdown, came out, wiped them off the map. And then the worst thing that you can really do in the game is ocean dump somebody. You take the body, throw them in the ocean, and it's supposed to, like, symbolize that they can't remember because you ocean dumped them. But we actually took them down to the refinery in South Los Santos and threw them into the smelter. And
so you melted cops down.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a regular it. Day, you know.
It's a regular day in Los Santos.
They should
nothing
be happy
to see here, gentlemen.
They should be happy we didn't steal the helicopter. You know, we blew it up, but we could have definitely joyrided around that for a little bit.
So the mods on this server were cool with that kind of activity, because I've heard that some mods on some of these role playing servers can be a little testy.
So yes, and also no. I mean, they can be. I think there's like a process, right? There's like unwritten rules. And if you just walk up to a cop and like shoot them because you're a criminal and they're a cop, like that's not going to work. Like that's not going to fly. You can't do that. Doesn't work.
You need some backstory. Like,
you have to have
my pixelated wife.
You have to
something.
Have something, dude, you know? And then I think sometimes people try to stretch it and they're like, well, he ran into my car. Like, he rear-ended me. And it's like, dude, it's a modded video game that's so broken. It's unbelievable. Like, you glitch out of things all the time. There's, like, light posts that fall over. Like, you can't pick a fight over something petty, right?
So, yeah, right. Definitely. So, are you looking forward to RPing in Starfield? Have you seen Starfield,
dude,
the gameplay? Like, I know some people are in love with it and some people have their criticisms, but what is your take on said game?
Huge Bethesda fan. I've been playing Elder Scrolls since like Morrowind back on the original Xbox. So,
oh, the good old days.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim, Fallout 4. From what I've seen, it looks like, you know, a pretty nice like mix of those games, but I understand people don't like the pace of it. I think it's fine. It's space. They're building the story and Bethesda does a really good job of that. So I'm into it. I don't own it yet. I think I actually need to rebuild my PC if I'm going to try to run it.
Cause it is a beast to run.
I heard
that
it's
game.
Huge.
Like I've heard. Yeah, it's so much. And then people are like, oh, but it loads you every time you go off a planet and you can't run in one direction for infinity like No Man's Sky. It's like, well, if you want that, play in the fucking No Man's Sky where there's like no mission, there's no NPCs, there's no quests.
Great idea, but like horrible execution, right?
Well, initially it was like Cyberpunk, you know, mm-hmm. like huge promises, huge hype, mm-hmm. failed on delivery, and the end of the game it just like, you know, cuts to black, like you made it to the center of the universe, and then they fix that because people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't like care about the center of the universe, it's stupid.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that. I want to explore like people, and this was around the time of the whole Area 51. People just wanted to smash aliens.
Yeah.
And they were denied that right.
Yes. No, I think like the shipbuilding's cool in Starfield, you know, I like.
Oh, yeah.
It actually kind of gives me a little more like Mass Effect vibes, and I don't think I've heard anyone really say that, but like the music, the ambiance, the atmosphere, like Bethesda crushes that stuff. You know, that game's been
the ability to sacrifice little children for powers.
Of course.
Of course.
Why shouldn't you be able to do that? It's the future.
Right.
Those are good stem cells.
That are going to waste.
Yeah,
I get migraines occasionally. This will not do. Give me your powers, child.
Dude, my knee hurts. Like, inject me.
You got any stem cells laying around? I have a niche. This will not do.
I think it looks
Starfield
cool, man.
Had, Yeah, it definitely looks cool. And like what you were touching on with the ship customization, like I've seen so many awesome tutorials like this is how you build the Millennium Falcon. This is how you build the Futurama delivery ship.
Yeah.
Like you name it. Like the customization is there. And the choose your own adventure. You want to be a pirate? You want to be a bounty hunter? You want to do all this random cool shit? You want to be a fucking scientist? You want to go study stuff? You definitely have the ability. So it's cool that all of this is like kind of left in there with different paths.
I agree.
And it's cool that this came around the same time as Baldur's Gate. Like we went from kind of a drought of games to like some really awesome titles. Like the beginning of this year felt like it belonged to the indie developers with things like BattleBit, with things like Dave the Diver coming out of left field and like completely rocking like big studio games that were kind of lackluster. And then now the big studios are kind of stepping up, which is nice to see.
Dave the Diver looks super interesting.
Oh, do you like anime?
I will say I've like scratched the surface.
Because Dave the Diver has a lot of weird anime cuts, and you can tell the people who made Dave the Diver are like, it's kind of like a love letter. Because like it'll be like a regular story, and then it'll be a cutscene of like the cook like getting all dramatic and like chopping up fish, and it's like really funny, weird like anime type cuts.
Akira came out in the 80s. I watched that when I was like, 18. I thought that was fucking sweet. Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, like those shows you kind of grow up with. Gundam Wing, Toonami.
Yeah, the things that were on Toonami.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Toonami was awesome. After school, you'd sit there and that little robot guy with that awesome voice would come up.
Yeah.
And he'd watch, you'd watch fucking Dragon Ball. The unfortunate thing was like, oh, we're going to watch Sailor Moon now, guys. Sorry. You'd be like, no.
Yeah, just turn it off. Go outside.
Right. That's when I saw Cowboy Bebop and all those other classics. Like, one of the saddest moments for me is I remember coming home from school one day, like when Tsunami's been on for a while, and then it like I was watching it, and then it was the last one ever, and the guy was just like, "It's been a great like 15 years or whatever," and then he just zoomed away. I was like, "What
just happened?
It's over. Come back." Like, and that's why I have abandonment issues.
I'm really that didn't take much then, huh?
No, I was on the brink. I was on that cliff. I just needed a slight push.
Needed something.
That Tsunami, man, did it.
I'm surprised, honestly, they haven't brought it back with, like the nostalgia. You know what I mean? Like, it's... I don't know, man. Like, it just seems like that's... It's like, it's been away for long enough that they could bring it back and it would be super successful.
Our generation is very, very susceptible to buying into nostalgia because when we were kids, things were a lot better than they are now. That's why when COVID was bad and people were at home, Pokemon card sales shot up like crazy because people were looking for like bits of their childhood when things weren't shit. economy's not great. We have to endure another horrible presidential election when both candidates kind of look like turds. Yeah. So it's like, please God, give me something to distract myself legal and not black tar heroin.
Tarkov.
Exactly. Back to Tarkov. All roads lead to Tarkov. All roads lead back to that never-ending loot, die, repeat. So speaking of loot, die, repeat, what is your favorite map currently on Tarkov?
Ooh, I love Streets. I just wish it worked better. I think Streets is super cool. It just runs like trash. And it's just rough. My machine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just rough, dude. I really like...
Rubber banding is hard when you're like, oh my God, I'm about to... Oh, nope, I'm back over here. And now I'm getting shot. Fucking it. And now they have the new boss, so even more traffic is there. It's a hard map to play.
Every wipe, I try to take a new map... And then, like, that's my main map. So, like, last wipe, we did Reserve. The wipe before that, we did Shoreline. The wipe before that, we did Interchange.
That Shoreline one must have been hard.
You just gotta, like, dude, you gotta, like, embrace it. You know what I mean? You just gotta, like, play the game better. You know, like, quit bitching, load back up, get back into it, and maybe don't go to the resort. You know?
No, definitely. That's one of those maps where it feels like it takes a really long time to get a good feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody and their mother just goes straight to fucking resort. So it's like, okay, well, I got to find a way around this. Especially if you're like new to the PvP aspect of it. Or if, you know, your computer is a little on the slower end and, you know, like you have that lag spike to worry about. Or if you're just afraid of cheaters, because I know lots of people who blame every death on a cheater, which is not accurate.
Right.
But, you know, who am I to question them? They've been playing this game much longer than I have.
Right. I don't, honestly, man, I don't really like subscribe and get into, like, do they exist? Yeah, they exist in every game. Are there things that could be better? Sure. But you know what? I feel like, honestly, also,
game,
could be every
it's
game.
It's so hard to know, because other games, it's a little bit more obvious. Like CSGO, if you have a spin bot cheater, you can tell because he's like literally spinning around the map and he like kills the enemy team before they even leave spawn, which is not doable any other way than cheating. But Tarkov, it's like, they could be literally anywhere. People could be in a bush and they just shot you from behind because you didn't check your corner, but you're going to be like, I'm cheating! You know, like it's not always so cut and dry. But, you know, it's one of those things where a kill cam might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But then again, you'd have people who kind of do the stream sniping thing where they'd be like, oh, I'm the kill cam, he's behind that tree. Just like if you have like a TTV in your name, they can pull up your thing and tell like the rest of their team if they're with a team where you were.
I saw one idea that it would be like something that you would add on to like intelligence, your intelligence center in the hideout. And then you would have to like pay to retrieve the footage after the raid. So it wouldn't even be something that you could see like right away. You'd have to actually be completely out of the raid. Everybody would be out of the raid. And then you'd get it as like a message after the fact.
You know what I always wanted to see? I always wanted them to see, put like a GoPro as an attachment, mm-hmm. and then have you be able to watch back your raids mm-hmm. on like the TV and hideout. Like mm-hmm. how cool would that be, is if you could just be like, okay, and like give you like full 360 view of your PMC. So you could be like, oh, where did I get shot from? And be like, oh, I paused it. Be like, it was from that window. Maybe that guy was legit. Because, you know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of finger pointing going on in the community.
For sure.
Cheating does exist. And, you know, it's unfortunate, and having something like that to, like, you know, help lift that veil would probably help squash some of the toxicity. But you know what? Some people thrive and love it. Like with Arena coming in, I'm sure some people are ready to loot, shoot, and rage for the fun of it. Because, you know, some guys will just want to vent, and why not vent about a video game? Like, I'm sure you saw people venting in GTARP.
Oh, yeah, dude. But that's the thing, too. It's like, this is made by people that are just passionate for the game, right? It's not even, they're not even like actual developers. Like, it's literally, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry that are okay on a computer, and then they made this server, you know, and then you have servers that are like no pixel that they've blown up, and they've just become so massive and so profitable, they can actually hire people.
Right, and that's so cool that Rockstar is cool with people taking their intellectual property and letting them run with servers to promote their product. Because you see bigger companies mm-hmm. like a Nintendo
mm-hmm.
that don't care for people, like, you know, making things with their product. Mm-hmm. Like, they go after content creators who like make mods. They go after people who use emulators who make a profit on YouTube, because it's like, this isn't pre-express written consent of Nintendo. It's like the Warhammer 40K community also deals with that, because Games Workshop doesn't like fan-made animations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, dude, like, they're literally promoting your intellectual property and mm-hmm. showing how cool it is. Like, why are you punishing the people who are your most loyal fans and buy into your product?
Dude,
I don't understand.
I think that's something, again, that for as negative as everybody is about Battlestate Games, there are so many things that they're doing differently as a company, as like developers, right? Like, they love the Blender stuff.
Oh, 100%.
Like, and they make fun of themselves based on some of the bugs and some of the things. And it's like, it's just neat to see and neat to be a part of it.
Like, how many games have that many streamer items?
Not many. I don't even know,
They have a ton. Like, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I know it's a lot. And I think a big thing that it gets lost in translation
mm-hmm.
is it's a Russian company.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I know who complain about Tarkov or play Tarkov in general are American.
Mm-hmm.
And what Americans expect from a company and a product is very different from what a Russian would expect from a Russian company, because mm-hmm. it's just a social norm. And I think we are holding them to a standard that is not realistic to where that company is residing.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Because, you know, just the way we live is different. I don't know what it's like over there in Russia, but like, I've traveled the world. I've been to many places, and I know for a fact a lot of shops and a lot of like, the, you know, the person to consumer interactions are very different than in the US. So maybe we're just holding them to an unrealistic standard. That, and their country's going through a war, so maybe they have like other things going on. You know,
I mean, beside even that, before that all kind of hit the fan, I mean, true. Like Nikita on like the Tarkov TV podcasts would just be like, "Stop fucking whining." And I think that's like another thing that, again, like, it's not lost in translation, but how it's approached is completely different, right? Like, you look at like Diablo, Blizzard. Right. They come out, they're like, "We heard you. We're going to give you this." And then it comes out with like trash, garbage, right?
But how many of those owners are coming on a podcast and addressing questions live?
Yeah. And then, but
like the only other one I can think of is Twitch. Like dropping, the Twitch CEO does.
Like dropping the F-bomb and telling people to shut the fuck up, right? Like,
that's very Russian.
It's so cool.
It's very
dude.
Russian.
Right? Like, quit fucking whining. And I was like, yeah, okay, this guy's cool.
See, the way I look at Tarkov, I look at it the same way I look at every game. So if you bought Edge of Darkness, mm-hmm. that's what, $125 purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many hours would you say you have in Tarkov?
I'm over 2,000.
Just a ballpark. Okay, yeah. 2,000. So let's take 2,000 and divide that by 60. So that is 33 cents per hour played.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's pretty goddamn good.
I agree.
And if you divide that again by 60 for seconds, so you've paid a half penny. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you look at it, like, the amount of enjoyment you've gotten mm-hmm. from that game for that initial investment of $125 is immense. Like, how many things out there for $125 would you get that many miles out of?
None. Zero, dude. Because, again, I got...
Exactly.
I pre-ordered the gold edition of Diablo 4, played the first season, second season came out, and I was like, it reminded me of Destiny and Destiny 2. Like, they would just like reskin all the enemies and then be like, "Oh, we have these new enemies." It was like, dude, it's just the Vex, but instead of the Vex, it's like Vex covered in ice now. It's still the Vex.
Right. You know what I mean? We're going to touch on that Diablo here in a second. But like, my last thing about Tarkov is, like, some people built their entire careers, mm-hmm. like entire full ass streams, self sufficient, supporting a family, mm-hmm. buying a home off of Tarkov. Now,
it's crazy.
How many jobs out there, or how many careers out there? For an investment, I'm not going to touch computer, because people use computers for all sorts of things other than mm-hmm. gaming. But okay, even out of the computer, let's say, you know, $2,000, which is a lot more than what your average person is spending, plus $125. How many people can really start and like have an entire ass career off of such a small investment? Like, Tarkov has given so many people so many avenues mm-hmm. to not only promote themselves, get bigger, you know, get to those stages that they want. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, as Nikita, like, if I saw people like getting to that stage and then making whole ass content complaining about the product that they built their livelihood on, I'd be a little pissed too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, why are you bitching about recoil so much?
I agree.
Like, I'll get to it. Fuck. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's weird.
But I also feel like, I mean, at least for like video games today, and like, maybe it's like the typical video game player right now, today. Dude, like, it doesn't matter what game it is, people are going to complain. You know, and even...
Oh, 100%.
Even so much so that, like, you see, you know, like, One Peg, or you see people going on Twitter and they're like, "I don't even want to play Starfield because I'm getting so much flack for it." It's like not Why? Worth hurting my career that I use to support my family. It's crazy to
giving
me,
them shit because of the pronoun thing. Because I know that one guy went viral for complaining, like, I have to pick my gender before the game. This is no. like every Bethesda game you've had to pick that.
I think it's like people just want to hate. You know, just people just want to. People just want to. Dude, you give an asshole a microphone. You know what I mean? They're just going to use it. You know.
As an asshole with a microphone, I totally get that. Oh, man. But yeah, like I understood the hate with Harry Potter because that money goes to J.K. Rowling, who is a notorious
anti. Yeah.
She sucks. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you can make an entire universe. Yeah, she sucks. She's a bigot. Like, how are you going to make an entire universe where it's just like, don't make fun of people who are different, to being like, I hate people that are different. It's
yeah.
Like, fuck, JK. You were 100, homeless.
180, right? Total 180.
Yeah, right? But like, okay, so you stated you were a big Bethesda fan. So for someone who's played all those role-playing games, is it not very common in Oblivion, in any of those big role-playing games, Fallout, where you pick your character's gender at the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, any RPG game, I feel like, you know?
So why is this guy, you know the one I'm talking about, that British guy who like went viral for bitching about the pronoun
thing?
Yeah,
I watched it. I don't
get his anger. Like every game you do that, even in Baldur's Gate, you pick it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how, like, unless every NPC is going to refer to you as adventurer, which, you know what, if this kind of shit takes off, they might do, which would suck because that would take away from the immersion. And, you know, if you want to play a character that... is he, she, they, them, like...
Who fucking cares?
It's just a scroll. It's just a click. Yeah, I don't understand why people let such little things blow up on them, unless they're just doing it for clicks, because, unfortunately, it is cool to hate nowadays. And I don't mean that it's cool as in, like, yeah, do it. I mean, people do that because they're trying to,
it circulates faster.
You know, it does, unfortunately. Just like that one guy who got pissed off because, like, one of their viewers' his mom died. He was like, hey, how's your day going? Oh, bad, my mom died. He's like, you don't talk about your mom dying on a Friday.
Yeah.
You remember that guy?
I think, like, you know, Boardwalk Empire, dude, Nucky Thompson's like, you get shit on your boot, you don't brush it off right away. You let it dry, and then you just shrug it off, right? But I feel like... you know, like the greater good, like what, you know, like you hear like sex sells, you know what I mean? But like,
oh,
so does that like dissenting opinion. And so many people.
That's why I'm in a full on bikini right now streaming this, the OF channel.
I mean,
no, I'm definitely not. Don't worry.
Let me make another cocktail then. Hang on.
That's why we're gonna sling Castle Comms coins and crypto. That's not a thing. Please do not buy anything called Castle Comms coin. It is fake and you will lose all your money.
This is not financial advice.
Oh, God, no. I make terrible financial decisions. I have two children in California. I will never be rich.
One child just a little further north of you. I totally feel that.
Oh, but so are you in the great state of Oregon?
I'm in Washington, yeah.
Oh, I love Washington. Washington
it's been nice,
is a
man.
Great state. So, living in a place like that, mm-hmm. would you say your content output increases due to the time of year? For example, when it's winter and it's mm-hmm. snowing, or if it's like raining a shit ton, do mm-hmm. you find yourself creating more content, or do you stay pretty consistent all year round?
So, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, and I would definitely say it's seasonal. Like, we just moved here this summer, and you know, on top of having a you know, brand new baby, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna get a new job and move across the country too. Right in the middle of all of it. But
I mean, it's one of those things where if you're gonna walk on ice, you might as well dance. Like, you're already making full ass commitments, you might as well go the full like 10 yards, you know.
And not, we don't do just the tip over here, you know. So
we go full bore. None of that dip teasing.
So I noticed, like, in Pennsylvania, yeah, dude, definitely more seasonal. It's like in the wintertime, you know, just foot of snow outside, there's nothing to do. You know, great time to play video games.
Right.
But then, like, I learned early on from like a mentor that your content creation should be 50% of your your streaming, you know, presence. Because even when you're not live, that's what's out there, still growing, still active. People are still clicking. People are still into it. So I always try to kind of split things kind of like 50-50.
100%. That makes complete sense. And it's always good to have other avenues to, like, you know, point people towards your stream. Like, you know, making TikToks or doing a podcast or making YouTube videos, things like that. So that brings me to my next question. Is there any form of content creation that you have not, like, delved in? Or dip the toe, you know, just kind of tested it, that you want to do in the future. So the fans is on the table.
No. You asked two
fans
questions.
Fans is off the table.
That was two questions. Okay. I don't know, man. Like, I have a short attention span. So I think sometimes, I also can't come back to something. Like, it'll kind of gnaw at me. So, like, if I sit down and I want to make a clip or something, like, I want to get it done. Like, I don't want to, like, let it linger and then come back to it. I want to start it and finish it and then move on to the next thing. So
that makes sense.
I don't think I could do like long form stuff. We did TikTok. We had a couple videos like get, you know, over 1,000 views. I thought that was really cool. Like, so I felt personally accomplished. Like, could they have gotten more? Sure, but like, that's pretty fucking cool for somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Just move on to the next thing. YouTube,
and there's so many weird things in the minutiae of doing that. Like, oh, if you upload it at this time, at this day,
it's too hard to figure
percentage
out, man.
I just fucking send it. What happens, happens, you know. And if it does well, that's awesome. And if it doesn't, then I delete it and I re-upload it, and I hope for better odds on the second re-roll.
I really started to stream because there was no kill cam, and I was like, I need something to, like, record my footage that I can go back and watch it and try to get better, because none of my friends want to play this video game with me anymore. And then it turned into, you know, what it is now today. And then again, really, like, the YouTube, TikTok stuff really started from the RP streams, because it was like, that was hilarious. And I think other people would think that that's funny too. But even with that, man, like, a 60-second clip does not get as many hits as a 30-second clip. And it's really hard to try to get things condensed down to, you know, a half of a minute. So it's just like, and then the algorithms and all, it just, I don't have time to fucking keep up with all that anymore. I just want to play video games and have fun and hang out with people and be social and try to be positive in, you know, the greater community.
In a way, having a kid is great because it really opens your eyes to the things that are important and the things that are not, and the things that you have time for and the things that you don't, because, like, it's a complete priority shift. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you might not engage with some, like, bullshit drama on Twitter or in the Tarkov community because you're just like, I have, like, why? You know, like, why am I wasting my energy on this when I have so many more important things? It's a great thing because it lets you reevaluate your priorities, and it kind of opens your eyes. And it also kind of, you know, it's kind of like a reset in a way. It's like a start to a whole new part of you. Like, the old you is still there, but it's just like, you have to admit the person you are now is very different from the person you were 8 months ago, 7 months ago.
Dude, absolutely, 100%, completely different. And it's funny, like, you said one thing, made me think of another thing. Like, I've never experienced people rage quitting video games, okay? And I mean, I'm coming from, I think we're roughly around the same age. I'm coming from, like, Halo at my buddy's house, where we would get pizzas and a six pack and then just, like, say the most foul shit that you can to somebody, that their parents had to get on the microphone and you know, they're gonna come find you, you know, and like, they didn't even rage quit, you know what I mean? But I've never seen so many people rage quit video games until I started streaming, kind of getting more into, like, Twitch and watching other people play games. And then I think, like, we all get frustrated, you know, we all have things not go our way or whatever, but I think from the last, you know, 7 months or the last year, even, really, because, like, leading up to having him, it was just like, none of this shit fucking matters. It's not important. I just want to
100%.
I want to, like, take care of everything that's around me and the people that are around me, and maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe like they can carry the torch. It's a weird, not weird. I don't know, man. It's like a,
it's surreal. It's one of those things where your relationship with gaming has changed,
mm-hmm.
because your relationship with everything has changed,
mm-hmm.
because how could it not? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like when you experience something so life altering, whether it be a near death experience, mm-hmm. whether it be the birth of a child, whether it be, you know, something happy or traumatic,
mm-hmm.
your view of the world is going to change, and the way your relationship going forward with everything is going to change, because that's just how we are, you know, wired as people. Because if you go through all that shit and everything's the same, then there's something wrong with you.
For sure, dude.
That's when it gets into like narcissistic kind of like things. Where it's just like, oh wow, I just saw 8 people die. It's okay. I'm gonna just, you know, take a nap.
Time. What was the what was the shake weight? It was like time for sleep mode, and it like shuts itself down.
Yeah, and then here's your bus fare.
Dispensing cab fare. Time for sleep.
Right, man. I wish the gym. I wish fucking I could get cooling foam and money. Be like, good workout, and then just money shot.
I just the money shot, dude. I just like
that was the best part.
I like to have fun, and then I think again, man. Like when the streams really started to like take off, and you know we were hitting like 40, 50, 60 people at some points. Like,
so you were flirting with actual partner numbers, which is huge.
Yeah. And then I think I needed like a better average. You know what I mean? Because I think like the time behind me wasn't as great as the time ahead of me or the time that I was having currently. So it just didn't weigh that average.
Right.
I needed to keep up with it a little bit more. But like,
hindsight's 20/20, though. It's one of those things where when you start chasing numbers and you and like once, like I hate to say it, but once this becomes a career,
mm-hmm.
your relationship is going to completely change with
again,
it
again. Yeah.
And then anxiety enters a role. And I think this is why a lot of, like, I'm not going to say a lot of people because I don't know the exact number, but I think that's why some people who are become professionals, when I say professionals, you know, people who stream professionally,
right.
That's why some of them resort to doing things like cheating, is because that mm-hmm. pressure to be the best is there.
You have to show off. Yeah. There.
Yeah, you have to. And that's probably why people rage quit more, is because not only is it just like, oh, I fucked up, haha, my pixels are gone. You have your entire livelihood based upon the people who mm-hmm. are watching you. And if some of those people watching is like, oh, this guy sucks, you know, I'm out of here, cringe.
Yeah.
Like when that shit happens, it's like that's money out of their pocket. So
I always
that's
just
a whole
like,
other element.
I just wanted to always like have fun, and like Friday night was kind of like the time slot that was always available because we would like do date night, have our good time, and then my wife goes to sleep pretty early, and then I'm like degenerate, you know. So like 6, see you later. I'm gonna go downstairs and drink bourbon and play video games, and then. Like Tarkov.
Maker's Mark and Oblivion.
Absolutely, man. Tarkov is hard to have a good time with like a community in, because it is like it's difficult, you know. In RP, I think both Red Dead and GTA, it's much more like communal, and you know, you got like people in chat that they're like, go bonk that guy on the head, and you're like, all right, fuck it, I'll go up and smack someone in the face. You know, it was fun.
You have a lot more freedom too, because Tarkov, it's like, okay, I am in my stash playing Tetris. Mm-hmm. I am loading into a raid.
People don't want to see
that. I guess you could RP during that time, but I mean, all your characters are very generic, like white angry man. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, there's no variation.
Yeah.
Whereas in GTA, you could be literally anybody and anything with any job, which makes it cool. And the thing that sucks is, like, let's say you finally get into a raid and you're like, you know, you're VoIPing, and then someone just like just shoots you right off the rip. And
dude,
it's just
I waited
like, well,
20 minutes and I've been in a raid for 2 minutes and someone shoots me right off the rip. It's like, you didn't even get to like RP your scenario that you wanted to try to RP out. You just got bent over, you know. It,
right.
I love that game. So, you know, not saying anything negative about it by any means, but it just,
it's not the easiest game to RP.
No. And it fits a different purpose. You know, I want to run around and try to be Sam Fisher. You know, I want to run around and try to be like, what would Solid Snake do? You know, he's going to infiltrate with his pistol. He's going to create a diversion. Yeah, I love that shit, dude. But it's
the
a different
purpose. The
last
wipe I played, I only did night raids, and I played just like that. My name was mm-hmm. Waffle House Man, mm-hmm. and I was just like crawling around like a little wiggly worm. Like my whole thing was be stealthy, and it was a lot of fun. It was like it was scary. You'd have mm-hmm. teams of like four run up on you and be like, "I can't make a noise."
Yeah, they're gonna find me. They're gonna find me.
And then sometimes I would just wipe like a fart. See what they would do, and they would like, did you do that? They would like talk amongst themselves, and it was hilarious, man. It was a lot of fun doing shit.
I had one raid this wipe. It finally happened after like 2,000 hours, dude. I had one raid this wipe where we all ran into the stronghold, and we actually met like another team at the same time, and they got confused on who was who, and they didn't know that I wasn't on their team. And it was amazing. I was just running with these enemies, basically. And then...
That is the best.
Mowed them down, right? So, like... and then
as probably, one does.
Bro, they're probably screaming at each other, right? Like, you fucking shot me! And it's like, well, that wasn't me. I'm over here. Like, I could just imagine it. I was so happy. I've never had anything like that happen before.
It's so fun being disruptive, especially on like night raids where you just run into a group and you just like, you're like, I'm one of you guys. Worst, I don't know what you're talking about.
The worst part so far this wipe is I've been running a Mosin exclusively. And it's so overpowered, right? Like if you can hit your shots, it's so good. So it's so satisfying to hit your shots. But then if you die, it's like, okay, kid, enjoy the Mosin, and then you always get it back in insurance. It never fails, dude.
Right. Because it's an awkward sized weapon. It doesn't fit into, like, you know, smaller bags.
Super heavy, right.
It's so cheap. It's heavy, so nobody wants it. It's perfect for that reason.
It's worthless.
Have you used the SVT?
I just unlocked it after they made these changes, though. So I've not used it yet, no.
I've heard some pretty crazy things. I have not played this wipe because Tarkov, it's one of those things where if I'm going to play a game, mm-hmm. I want every map to work really well. Like mm-hmm. Streets doesn't run well for me. Lighthouse doesn't run well for me. And it's one of those things where it's like, of course, that's the map like my friends want to play. And mm-hmm. that's the one when you get to a certain level, all your tasks take you there. And it's just like, I can't do this and have fun. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm kind of stepping back from Tarkov until like something's changed with the game or I get a better PC, whatever mm-hmm. one comes first. Because I don't want to get locks like that. Because what's the point of like, you know, only playing half a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Lighthouse is tough to, definitely tough too. And it's been tough since they rolled it out. I agree with you on that one. What games have you been getting into?
Oh, I've been getting into all sorts of crazy shit. I've been getting into Baldur's Gate. I love Baldur's mm-hmm. Gate because I love the role play aspect. Have you played Faster Than Light? It's like a little, it's a very cheap game.
Yes.
It's an indie game. It's like a starship.
Yes.
And you have to like control your ship and you have to make it work. Well, they made a game called Into the Breach where it's like you have three mechs and you have to like protect these cities from like these like Godzilla like creatures that spawn on. So
that's
it's kind of like Pacific Rim meets Faster Than Light, mm-hmm. which is really fun. It's only like $10, $12 on Steam. Mm. Great game. I love that art style. It's easy on the computer. You can mm-hmm. play it, and it's addicting. Mm-hmm. I've been getting into Foxhole because I really like the whole RP, and it's like it's a grand war with people from all over the world. So it's like mm-hmm. I got into an epic fight yesterday where I was in a machine gun bunker for literally like an hour holding off an assault, and we lost the base because they started gassing us out. They had to resort to war crimes, those bitches. And they brought tanks, and I'm just like, I just have a shitty little machine gun. Yeah,
the flamethrowers come, you're like, shit. Time to leave the machine gun nest.
Oh, the flamethrowers are sick, but like the range is so limited on them, and if they see you with a flamethrower, you're just gonna, you know, they're gonna shoot you. Mm-hmm. it's your top priority dead. There's no getting around that. You're just done. And yeah, I had a really cool moment where I like sneaked behind an enemy base, and I had a Saving Private Ryan moment. You know, they did the sticky bombs where they mm-hmm. threw like, oh, we're gonna put motor oil on these. Like they have sticky bombs in those games, and I threw a sticky bomb onto a tank and I blew it up. Nice. That was my like moment. And then they were chasing me. Like, come back here, boy. And
that's
I like
amazing.
Escaped and then
my team covered me with machine guns, and then I was like, it's my first day. I don't know what I'm doing, because it was.
I think on Twitter, the guy that I tagged on your post, Kemmerkaze.
Yes, I'm now following him on Twitter.
Dude, he was like really one of the first people that I've seen Foxhole content from. And then I found out like one of my buddies in our Discord is like a huge Foxhole fan. So like I've watched him like Discord stream it. It looks like a great game, man. And I love the perspective kind of like top down and
right.
kind of how you have to like maneuver. I just think it's a really neat game, like neat idea. I haven't played it myself, but that's definitely
the
on the backlog.
The cumbersome system. It like forces you to work as a team. Like tanks, you need a driver and you need a gunner, or it won't operate correctly. If you want a heavy machine gun, you have to have a guy with a bipod, put the bipod down, and then you put the heavy machine gun on the bipod, and then you have to feed ammo into it. And then it's just like mortars. They have mortars, so you need a guy to actually get like the bipod and a guy to carry the tube
team.
And another guy to carry the ammo.
That's awesome.
Like, legit. Like, I was in this raid, like, in my machine gun bunker, and I heard the guys behind me who were running the mortars, like, Azimuth 29, West 12. Like, they're calling out fucking coordinates.
You're like, am I playing, like, squad right now? Is this Arma? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, and it was just like, bro, I'm not having a rack flashbacks right now. What the fuck you guys trying to do to me? I'm just trying to shoot shit. Like, come on.
That's
come
funny,
on.
Dude.
Oh, it was sick though.
Yeah,
and, like, that was only one day playing, and I'm excited for what's ahead.
I like the time period, World War II. I think it's awesome that they picked, you know, something different than what most games go for. I think it's kind of neat.
And I love how the map is living. So if you build a bunker, that bunker's there until it's destroyed. And it's just like, it's so cool having things being so interactive. And the war is reset after, I think, 6 weeks. Like, this war is on, like, day 900 and, like, 92. Oh, geez. It has, like, the casualties. And, like, East Side has, like, north of, like, 2 million casualties. So it's, like, it's pretty cool to see the amount of combat. I mean, it's got everything but air. Like, there's no planes in the game at this moment in time. You have Navy, Yeah, planes would make it a whole different dynamic.
You got to get into War Thunder if you want to go planes, I guess.
Oh, War Thunder. That's an interesting game. It's so funny how people got so mad over the specs of the stuff on War Thunder that actual people from the military who played that game,
I know,
secret documents to like, this tank is actually this amount of knots. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
just like that one guy who leaked all the government secrets about Ukraine and Russia over a Minecraft server, and his name was Jack the Dripper.
What are you doing? You know?
It was so funny watching the news networks. Like, his name was Jack the Dripper because he was dripping information. Like, that's not why it was Jack
the
Dripper.
That's not why.
That's not why. You fucking nerd.
He made that name when he was 14 and on AOL.
Right. It's crazy. The lengths people will go to win an argument with people they will never meet in real life.
Dude, just to be a rage quitter.
Right. So rolling back into content creation, question for you, since you enjoy playing the RP style of gaming, what kind of content do you consume? Do you watch people who partake in RP? Do you not watch that kind of stuff? Or do you not consume content? Because it's kind of crazy how some content creators hate watching other content. Some of them much rather watch things like, you know, how people make bread and things like that. Or those guys in the woods making fucking like pools out of mud.
Tons of porn, dude.
Same.
That's the best role play, right? Like, I'm a plumber. Yeah, right.
I'm the luckiest pizza boy on earth.
I probably watch like more Twitch and Kick and YouTube than regular TV. I watch like the news because I want to be current. I want to know what's happening. I want to be involved with like current events.
It's nice to know, like, what's going on out there, you know?
You should.
Especially when you live
here,
on the
so
West Coast, you're kind of in a bubble. It's like, I know California is like that because it's a big fucking state. And like Washington, you guys are up there. Like, I like without the news, I have no idea what the fuck's going on the East Coast other than like what random people are saying. And you know, it's a nice, it's not bad to see debates and being like, oh, who's going to be the next leader of my country potentially? Yeah. It's not bad to know what the fuck's going on out there. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't care about the news. And then, you know, I got older and it's just like, oh, this actually directly affects me in a really shitty way.
Shut up, the news is on. Just like your dad would say, right?
I'm like, you old wrinkly dick. And now I'm that old wrinkly dick. Oh, the tables have turned.
I think what's interesting about like content consumption, like with RP, people want to watch what you're doing so that they can learn what to do. And it's the same thing, right. I think, with like Tarkov, right? Like, I'm going to watch, you know, Landmark because he's cracked at the game. He's playing the new Streets map. Maybe I'll get, you know, some tips on how to play that, you know, and I have like an hour in between lunch or whatever. But I also try to watch new games that I'm interested in because I feel like, you know, the days of getting a demo are gone. Like, you have to know somebody to get like a key to try the alpha. You know, there's so fucking shit process that I'm just like, I'm not into trying to chase people for something. I will just watch you play it and see if it's worth 60-70 bucks.
And then some of these alphas, it's just like,
it's not, it's even a game yet, dude.
It's kind of counterproductive for a content creator to get into those alphas because a lot of those alphas won't allow you to stream it. So you're supposed to stream, you're supposed to play a game not on the clock, you know, and that's mean you're not going to monetize. And then you're usually not allowed to say anything about it. And it's just like when your job is to talk in front of a microphone and a screen and the thing you're doing the most on your free time is probably playing this game that's an alpha, it's hard not to want to talk about it, you know? So it's like, what do I do with this?
It's kind of like, dude, would I like to be flown somewhere, you know, or drive across the, you know, the Puget Sound, Lake Washington, whatever, go to fucking Bungie Studios to play the new Destiny 3 or whatever they're working on? That would be sick, right?
I'd be
super into that if invited to do it. But I feel like, you know, the alphas that are for the, you know, the for the majority of people, it's just wait. Like, don't even put the game out yet. Like, it's not worth it. I don't know. I like watching other streamers. I watch a ton of other streamers, and I feel like I'm always lurking. Like, I have three monitors, and Twitch is almost always up on at least one of those monitors. Well,
as a parent, you are forced to lurk because it's just like, as you know, shit just happens at the drop of a dime. You're like, oh,
yeah, kid
took off
away.
The diaper and took a shit on the carpet. Or, you know, I heard something fall. Better go never see ending. What that was. Yeah, it's just never ending. And so it's like you're just always lurking. And in a way, it's nice to be like involved but kind of detached at the same time. That's the way I like to do it. And the thing with watching streamers, especially ones who are bigger, it's nice to have that because, like, okay, I'm sure you know somebody who's grown up doing something like surfing, skateboarding, something fun, paintball, you know, you name it. And then they got sponsored and it became a job. And then you see their relationship with it change to the point where they don't even enjoy doing it. And it's one of those things where I'm afraid that gaming for me could get to a point where I don't enjoy it. And that would be really terrible because it's been like one of my favorite things since my fucking family brought home an NES. So it's like something that's so like, you know, ingrained. It's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. It's part of like what I enjoy to have that just be like, oh, that brings me nothing but disappointment and expectations. Like, that would be sad. That would be scary. Like, I don't know what I would do in that situation. Like, what happens when your decompressing thing becomes stressful?
I guess you have to, like, start reading.
Jacking off horribly. Yeah.
We said two totally different things.
Yeah, you're like, reading, and I'm like, jacking.
go get a book, and you're like, of porn.
Go get a book and fuck it.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, it's Castle Cops. You can say whatever you want.
I love it, man.
That's the best part about having your own show is I'm not beholden to very like stringent sponsors. Like if right. I was like G Fueled out or if I had like some, I could probably expect not to say certain things. But that's the nice thing about having the sponsors I have, who they're really cool. So they don't usually care and they don't pay me. They just give me products. So even if they decided to pull the plug, it's not the end of the world.
You've built something the way that you want it to be. And I think that like in the same sense with like the streams and you attract, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe, right? So the people that you want digesting your content, coming in, checking you out, clicking on these things, it's people that enjoy that.
And it's, come it's the, hither, it's, book fuckers, join me in the Castle Comms Keep.
That's why you're friends with Toadster. I knew it.
Oh, dude. Toad is a Marine. And I was a hospital corpsman. I almost said am, but I'm not in anymore, mm-hmm. which is pretty much the way that works is the Department of the Navy is they do work a lot with the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. The Navy, I was a medic and I dealt with Marines. So me and Toad had that. We bounce off of. We have that kindred. It's like mm-hmm. when two dogs meet at a dog park and they smell each other's asshole. It's yeah. kind of the same dynamic. Oh,
I like your asshole.
Exactly. And Toad's got a beautiful, beautiful butt. Toadster, if you're listening, I love you, buddy. Him and Content Ent, both those guys are great, funny individuals. I can't wait oh, for yeah. Dark and Darker to return to Steam so we can role play.
Oh, more, dude.
Because I don't really like having to download torrents to play that game. I kind of hope agree. That lawsuit. Yeah, it's just like, dude, if I'm going to Pirate Bay, if I'm going to the same place where I would illegally download movies when I was in high school to fucking download a game, something's wrong.
I will buy Dark and Darker again once it goes to Steam, just to have everything in one place, number one, but also because it's that good of a video game. Like, I've bought Grand Theft Auto like 6 different times. Like, every time I get like a new system, you know, like, oh, I got PlayStation 3, Grand Theft Auto. Got a PlayStation 4, like Grand Theft Auto again. I'm like, fucking shit, stop buying this stupid fucking game. Bought it like twice
that
on PC.
That is a testament to how good it is.
It's so good, dude. Like, I would buy Dark so Darker good. Again.
Like, okay, so you said you had roughly 2,000 hours in Tarkov. If you had to mm-hmm. ballpark how many hours you have in GTA, what would that be? That's a hard question.
I think what's weird is that Steam doesn't count it because it's through the 5M client.
That is so kind of like, lame of them.
It doesn't, yeah, so it's like hard to really kind of thread it together between the two. Probably 1,000 hours at least, because at one point, dude, like through COVID, through quarantine, I'm in finance, I work for a bank. And back then, I was actually in the like the retail brick and mortar bank locations, and right. they closed. Like, you weren't allowed in a bank. Like, there were they, it was like, you're non-essential. Get the fuck out of here. So I worked from
it's
home.
It's funny how like, that's not essential, but like Dairy Queen was essential.
It's food, bro.
It's ice Wait, cream. Nobody's being sustained off of ice cream. Unless it's Project Zomboid. Nobody's eating ice cream for every meal of the day.
So I was just like, well, fuck it. If I'm going to work from home, I'm going to multitask, which means I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. So I racked those hours up quick. It is much easier to play that game, I think, than like Tarkov, for example, or Dark and Darker, Rust, you know, because you don't have to like get set up. You can literally just plug and play. Really been fun.
The duality of man working for a bank 1 minute and then robbing a bank the next in a virtual setting. We have Living to say virtual setting in case anybody decides to like, you know, call the police in Minecraft.
I think that's why it's like so popular though, is like I would never do that, of course, right? But
I would never drive my car down the sidewalk and take out every single pedestrian.
But I can in Grand Theft Auto, you know, and I think that's why it's so popular, is like you can literally especially with like RP, like you can literally be the person that you want to be or that you want to project yourself as in a video game. Yeah, it's really kind of bizarre.
That's why my character in GTA goes to the restaurant and gets a side salad instead of fries, because I never do that, but he does.
That's why my character's a librarian. He fucks all the books.
It's the perfect crime. It's like an all-you-can-fuck buffet.
Look at all these books.
I love books. Oh man, what a character we've already written.
I'm taking notes, man. It's come. He's in the work. I'm workshopping him right now.
What's the name of a book fucker? I'd say probably Barry. Like a huge. Ooh, Barry is good, and Barry. That also rhymes. Barry the book fucker,
right?
Or Eugene or Barry? I think Barry rolls off.
It's got to be
a lot better.
It's got to be something creepy too. Like Eugene,
he's
got to
have
like
an outlandish middle name. Like,
of course,
like something
a guy,
something that
Eugene.
Doesn't make sense.
Like a guy
Barry Armstrong,
100%.
Some dumb shit.
A guy named Eugene definitely fucks books.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And he also has a jar with a My Little Pony in it. For reasons unknown. And he goes to TwitchCon, but he doesn't stream. He just wants to see the people who he's bought bathwater from.
I'm just a fan.
I'm just a fan. Please step on me. Please, God. I'm so lonely. All I have is my books.
I want you to sign my book, please.
Oh God! Why is it? What's wrong with it? It won't open.
It's got. Oh no!
Don't you talk to her like that?
These pages were meticulously stuck together
with glue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, Barry! You sick son of a bitch!
Got it written down.
Excellent. So, changing topics. Have you had any interest in dipping your toe into the World of Warcraft hardcore servers? Have you heard of these? Have you seen these?
I've seen it, but I haven't really done anything with it. I've seen, you know, like Clean talk about it. It seems pretty popular, but I've never even actually played World of Warcraft. It's just never got into it. And
probably
not my thing.
Talking about the rinse and repeat of Diablo 4, World of Warcraft is nothing but rinse and repeat. Like, yes, there's PvP, which is cool, but like the quests that you have to go do, it's like, go kill zebras and bring me zebra hoofs. Oh, you've completed that? Go pick mushrooms and bring me back mushrooms. It's all like go and get it tasks and shit
terrible.
Like that. It's just like the same shit. And then you'll kill a zebra and you can see on the screen, like, that motherfucker's got 4 feet, and you go to loot him, he's like, this zebra has no toes. And you're like, what the fuck do you mean?
I can see the toes. Yeah.
Cut off his goddamn toes.
I can't get into stuff like that, and I really do think, like, Destiny kind of crushed me, because Destiny was, like, another game and put more hours than I care to really say into, and it's always just, like, fly here, kill this. Fly here, collect that. Fly here, kill this. And as like, soon as I start to get that kind of like that feeling, it's just like, I'll do it. But and then like the seasons, it's just like, well, then we're going to sunset this season. And then in the new season, we got these new things. And it's just more of the same
it
shit.
It just seems like rinse and repeat, like nonstop shooting, reloading. And yes, they add dynamic things to the raids. Like you have to jump on this at this particular time. Or we all have to go to this to initiate that. And it's just like, I know people who are like really into it. And it's just like, you have to have a lot of knowledge to maybe make some of these fucking dungeons work. So it doesn't seem like one, it's built for the casual, like, I'm just getting into this, like, type of game.
Right.
And it's also not built towards the person who's just like, yeah, I'm tired of shooting things. Like, is that it? Is that all we're doing here? We're just fucking left click? I mean, some people love that, but it's a lot.
I've known a ton of people that love World of Warcraft. It's just not for me.
Totally. I get that 100% because it's just a lot of it's also like a walking simulator until you get like a mount, and it's just like, God damn it, this world's big as fuck. I don't want to walk it.
Right.
It's like Pokemon Go gave me enough reasons to walk in real life. Why do I want to walk virtually?
That was such a good groundbreaking, awesome dream.
Did you get into Pokemon Go heavily?
A little bit. I hate to cut you short. I gotta go.
Oh, no worries. So we will cut this. And final question.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, what is something that you would say to the budding content creator? What would be your best advice for making content and being happy and juggling life?
Dude, just like make a plan and stick to it. Kind of think about what you want to do before you do it, of course. And then like make sure it's like scalable, you know, like you're not going to just start out on day one and have a million followers or a million views and it's okay. It's like a process. It's a journey. It's a marathon. And you just got to kind of keep chipping at it. You know, you just got to keep putting things out there. And like you hear so many people that say like the hardest part of streaming is pressing the go live button. That should be the easiest part of it, you know? Like, you just got to get out there and get after it and get going and get... Just do it. And I think with, like, the content creation piece of it, like TikTok clips or videos, it's, like, it's a creative outlook. So, like, you should look at it as, like, an opportunity to learn something new. It's like painting or photography or learning an instrument. It's, like, there's an art to it, in a sense, that... It's kind of exciting to like sit down and learn something new.
Absolutely. Well, I know you got to go, Tattoo. So I'm just going to take this time to thank you for taking your time to coming on the show. I know it's always
thanks for having me.
To convince somebody to come talk to a complete stranger on a recorded conversation for an hour plus time. So I appreciate everyone who takes that plunge. And anytime you want to come back, just let me know. We can get you back. Maybe we can get you on a panel with some other people. Oh,
hell yeah.
It's not a problem. Everyone else out there, this has been Castle Comms, episode 102. So why
love
don't you
it.
Go the fuck outside and touch and or smoke some grass? And we'll catch you next time on the comms.